Nick and I wanted to do this podcast with just the two of us to talk a little bit about where the podcast has been. For a number of months, we were pretty faithful of getting a new episode launched every week, and then we kind of disappeared for a few months, and there's reasons for that, but we're back. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to A Place in the Conversation. My name is Dan Neiswanger. I'm the spiritual formation catalyst for A Place in the Conversation, and I'm joined by my co-host and good friend, Nick Everhart. So, Nick, how are you doing these days?
I'm doing very well, Dan. Thank you. Things are looking good for me right now.
Good.
Not that they don't always, but just looking good.
Good, good, yeah. Good. All right. We'll talk a little bit about why that is in a few moments here. Nick and I wanted to do this podcast with just the two of us to talk a little bit about where the podcast has been. For a number of months, we were pretty faithful of getting a new episode launched every week, and then we kind of disappeared for a few months, and there's reasons for that, but we're back. And we're going to be, we're looking forward to recording more episodes and getting them out again. But we're going to spend a little bit of time today just sharing a little bit about what's going on in our lives and why the podcast has had disappeared for a little bit. So Nick, I know that you took a trip in August, which is, you know, kind of the beginning. I kind of figured we'd take a hiatus for the month of August while you traveled, and the hiatus just kind of stretched on a little bit.
It did.
Where'd you go?
Well, I was in Colorado for the entire month. My son and daughter both live in the Boulder, Colorado area. My daughter lives in Longmont, and my son lives in Erie. And we've, for many years, have been thinking about moving out there. Sort of on again, off again. I've never been completely convinced that that's something I wanted to do, but I also wanted to be with family, and my wife really wanted to be there. And so we were looking at some houses. We put a contract on a house. It fell through. We got out of it, but we said, well, we're going to go back together, and we'll be there for the whole month, and we'll just look for houses. And so we set that up. We had an Airbnb in a very nice place, and we were going to be there for the whole month. And this was done probably in May. We set this up. And right around the time we were going to go out there, in the beginning of August, we found out that our son-in-law was looking for a job in Philadelphia. And we thought, well, what are we going to do now? I mean, if our daughter moves back here with her husband and baby, do we want to move out there? And our son will still be there. So we went out, and we didn't look for a house right away. We sort of looked at some neighborhoods. And toward the end, our son-in-law hadn't gotten an offer. He said, well, I'm not sure I'm going to get an offer. You guys better look around for a house, because if we don't move, you guys will move out here. And we agreed that was our plan. So we looked around, and this is a long story, Dan. And we found a place that we really liked. And we thought we could be happy here. And so then we were going to put a contract on it with a contingency. And the next day we found out that he got the job offer, and they were coming back here. So that was the end of that. Our son was a little disappointed. It's not perfect, because we would like to be all together. But now our daughter and son-in-law and the 2.5-year-old little boy are living with us. And so they're living in our home. And at some point, they will probably go look for a home of their own. But for now, they're with us. And it's just wonderful. It's so exciting having a 2.5-year-old there and having two adults who is something different is happening all the time. It's just very exciting.
That's cool, Nick. I'm happy for you. And I know that that's been that decision, like that wasn't, you gave a brief version, but that's that decision, whether to move to Colorado or not, that's been in the process for like
10 years. Yeah. It's been weighing on me. Yeah. It's like this huge weight has been lifted off of my shoulders. Yeah. And the this is, my son criticizes me for this, but he said, you let Luis make the decision for you.
Yeah. that's
And in a way, that's true.
In a way, that's true. But, but over time, the decision took care of itself. Yep. And that's it. Well, I tell you what, it's good to hear that. And it's good to hear that you are happy and the rest of the family's happy.
You.
And, you know, there is something special about having young children around.
Yeah.
They add a level of energy and excitement.
Yes, yes.
And
a sense of wonder.
Yeah.
Everything is new and amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's that look like for you as grandpa? So as, you know, is that your official title? What's your official title?
He calls me Poppy, and he calls me Pop-Pop, and sometimes he calls me Nick.
Okay.
And his name is Nicholas, or Nico.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay, that's cool. That's very cool. Yeah. I like it. So in your role there, where do you see him expressing that wonder? How do you share in that together?
Well, he's just excited to take the garbage out with me and pull the garbage can out. And he goes out with me to put compost. And we go walking, and I pick up things and seeds and pine cones and insects. And I found a toad, and I put it in his hands. And it's just wonderful.
Yeah, that's so cool. That's cool.
It's very important to me to share nature with him and to try to teach him something about some values.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So as a biologist, like, you're passing on like some of the core, DNA or makeup of what's made you who you are.
Yeah,
and you're passing it along to him, and that's just that's a beautiful thing. So I'm glad.
Yeah, thank
you. You can tell. You can tell when you called me and told me, we had a conversation, and you said, oh, my daughter and her family are moving back here. It was a totally different Nick.
Yeah.
You could just in our conversation, you could tell that, that decision had been made and it was done. And, it was a totally different person.
I feel like a different person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? Like how there can be seasons of our lives, and sometimes they can be long seasons. 10 years is a long time. It's not a short season, where there is a decision that we have to make, that we're presented with, that it just starts to weigh. And the longer the decision is there and we don't have an answer for it, it can kind of just press down and press in upon us. And there's wisdom in not rushing to make a decision just for the sake of making a decision. Let everything play out the way that it's meant to play out. I guess, listening to you talk about that and thinking about it just now, it's, for so many of us, for many of you who are listening, there's probably a decision that you can think of that's weighing on your heart and on your mind, and it's taking away a little bit more emotional, spiritual, physical energy than you would want it to, and you can feel it. You can feel it pressing in. Just be gracious to yourself. Allow yourself time to be still and to be quiet, and just trust that in time, things kind of have a way of working themselves out in a beautiful kind of way.
And, well, that's true. Though I think that if I could have taken a lot of pressure off of myself by making a decision sooner, and I'm afraid that my reasons for not making a decision were selfish ones.
Yeah.
And so I think that if I had just been thinking of other people and not myself, I would have moved a lot sooner.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
Maybe there's a message there also.
Yeah, there probably is, right? and it's probably like we learn a lot about ourselves. We continually are learning about ourselves. And I guess I just would just say, hey, look, just be gracious to yourself in all this, because it's hard. It's hard sometimes.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So how have you been?
Well, that gets us to the second half, right, of our extended hiatus with the podcast. So, for those of you who are listening who might not know, I've been on a 7-year cancer journey. So in May of 2016, I was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer and have been on that journey for the past 7 years. A lot of times when people hear the word cancer these days, it's part of the beauty, I think, of a lot of what is taking place in modern medicine. The way we think about cancer has changed in just in very, very healthy, good ways, in part because of the way of the quality of care that we get. And sometimes we think, well, there's going to be surgery, go through a few rounds of chemotherapy, and then the person's going to be fine, which happens so often right now, which is good for a large number of people. Very early on, my oncologist told me that that was not my reality, and that we would never use words like cured or remission. And so my cancer journey has been filled with 7 years of on-again, off-again chemotherapy to beat back the cancer, take a break to recover from the toxins of the chemotherapy, and then when the cancer starts to grow again, go and get another round of systemic treatment. And there's been other stuff all in that. It's a rather long journey. In September and October of this year have just been extremely difficult months for that journey. We found that the cancer is growing, even though I was on chemotherapy. So we switched drugs, went a different treatment route. And the cancer is still growing, even though I was on a different set of drugs. It leaves my body just tired and weary. And I don't have the energy that I used to have, which was limited energy before. There were a couple of really important things taking place in the month of October. And so September was really focused on getting those projects completed, and the podcast just kind of took a back seat. And so I'm hoping that we're going to be able to get it back up and get it going.
Well, I hope so too, because I've really enjoyed it, I've met so many interesting people, and I hope that we've made progress on moving toward the mission of the organization of place in the conversation.
Yeah, I think we have, right? Being able to have healthier conversations where we can listen to each other, and even though we might not always agree with each other. And I think that's, I feel very good. I feel very good about that. And, we just got done recording a podcast with Father Chris Rogers and Reverend Anna Lee Coringle. And, it'll come out in 2 weeks. And it's probably one of my favorites. Yeah. from all that we've done, because we talk about a difficult issue. Yes. To address openly and honestly. And they helped us do it with grace and love and care. I think that's the whole goal for me anyway, mm-hmm. is to help people. Let's learn more about each other. Let's provide a space for people to share the truth of who they are.
Yeah, so. I agree. And I think that it's one of the first times we've really had two people with very divergent points of view talking to each other at all, and the way they modeled their behavior, the way they talked to each other was beautiful.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was. It was very good. I guess I want to, just share a little bit about the, what the future looks like for me as far as energy-wise, time-wise, the cancer journey thing. you know, I had scans Wednesday, this past Wednesday, and those scans were less than stellar. You know, they showed the cancer growing again while on a different oral chemotherapy drug. So I've got appointments coming up in the next couple weeks where we'll figure out, you know, what we're going to do, what we're going to do moving forward, as far as treatment goes. And it's an interesting thing. Maybe as a biologist, like, you can speak to this. It's, you know, our body becomes resistant to antibiotics, right? And all of a sudden, the antibiotics stop working because we've taken so much, so many antibiotics. Our body becomes used to them, and they don't work like they used to. And the same thing happens with chemotherapy drugs. You know, the body, where the drugs used to be effective in fighting back the cancer, all of a sudden the body recognizes them for what they are and finds a way around them, and finds a way for the cancer to grow, even though you're getting the treatment and getting the same drugs that used to be so effective. How does that, do you have any thoughts on like how that works as a biologist? How does our body do
that? Well, I do, though it's certainly, I don't have expertise in that field, but I know in the case of antibiotics, it's not the body becoming resistant, it's the bacteria that become resistant.
Yeah.
And that happens because they multiply very quickly. They have very short generation times, and so there's many opportunities for mutation to arise, for the resistance to develop. In the case of the cancer cells, they're also probably rapidly dividing, and I would imagine that the resistance is a result of a mutation in the cancer cells themselves, but there are other mechanisms that could be at work. And so it could be some metabolic enzymes that are developing their, you know, weakening their effectiveness.
Yeah. Yeah, I just find that whole, I find the whole thing, I find the whole thing fascinating. Apart from actually having to walk through it, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It's kind of a. I find myself in a weird place a lot of times, because, you know, the very real thing is that all things being equal, that cancer's going to take my life, but yet I find it just utterly fascinating how the human body, how the human body works, and how it, you know, builds up resistance, and and stuff that used to work now doesn't work. It's just it's a fascinating kind of a thing.
Indeed. So, yes. But I think that if you can enjoy the fascination of that process, that's a gift in itself. I mean,
yeah.
I think that I read recently that what's important in life is not the amount of time that you have, but the amount of attention that you pay to each moment.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you what, is the lesson that cancer has taught me more than anything else. And it's why I would gladly give it back in a heartbeat, you know, and would rather not have it. But my life is richer, deeper, because of it. Because all of a sudden, you know, when somebody tells you your time is limited, all of a sudden, you start to see everything around you differently. You know, you see time with family differently. You see how you want to invest your energy differently. Looking for places to make an impact in the world. You see it all very differently. Or at least I did.
Those are the things that matter.
Yeah, And there's a richness to it, and there's a depth to it that quite honestly, you know, while life was good pre-cancer, if I could have lived the way I'm living now, you know, the 48 years prior to being diagnosed, I shudder to think about what actually might have been accomplished. But we learn from life's disruptions. So
well, we do, you know. I'm 82 years old, and I don't know how many years I have left, but it's limited. But I'm really focused on trying to make some kind of impact in the years that I have left.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's more important to me than the number.
Yeah. Yeah, and we can get caught up in that, can't we? We can get caught up in focusing on the number and focusing on what does the future hold, so much so that we miss the moment and we miss the opportunity to make the impact.
Mm-hmm. Very Buddhist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you know what? I tell you, yeah, it is. But it's just... you know, see the moment before you and man, step into it.
Yeah.
So listen, everybody who's listening, our plan as we move forward is that rather than doing a podcast a week, we're going to do a podcast every other week. We'll do two a month. And we're looking forward to sharing with you some more conversations. If you have an idea for a podcast, if you'd like to be on the podcast, you know, if you have a topic that you'd like us to talk about, my email will be attached to this one. You can get a hold of us and share those, you know, share those ideas. And just Nick and I are always blessed every time that we get together, when we get together with, you know, people that we have known for a season, or when we get together with friends we've met for the first time around these microphones. It's just always is a special time. And so thank you for listening, and hopefully you'll hear a lot more from us in the days, weeks, months ahead. All right. So thank you for listening.
See you soon.
Yes, here you see you soon. Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.